from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former all-pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.
In life, some days are good and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work, both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Steve Rosenblum, Hub Arkish on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Hey, that's us. Welcome in. Good morning. Happy Labor Day. It's always an official radio show once the Eagles play. And I did stand on the corner of Winslow, Arizona. I was such a fine sight to see, and I have pictures of it. I am the incandescent Steve Rosenblum. He is the all-knowing Hub Arkish. Good morning.
And how did Tyler know this is one of my favorite songs? What a great way to start the day.
You got a really good, you got good odds when you play the Eagles of finding people as old as us to like that song. Mm-hmm. And here we are. We are here for 4 hours of fun. We are in for Mully and Haw. We are broadcasting live from the Hyundai Score Studios, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealer. Phone number at the Score, 312-644-6767. That'll get you to our listener line, powered by BetQL. Bet smarter and beat the books. Download the BetQL app today or visit BetQL.com. That number, 312-644-6767, also gets you to our text line. We have, again, 4 hours of fun. We have fun. Our guest today, 8:30, Wayne Larrivee will be here, former voice of the Bears, voice of the Green Bay Packers, and he will tell us whether Jordan Love owns the Bears the way all Packers quarterbacks are supposed to. And at 9 o'clock, we will talk with Clay Harbor, former NFL tight end, and has a podcast with Gabe Ramirez and Marshall Harris. We'll talk Bears with him and Megan Montemurro at 9:30. She covers the Cubs. I mean, we'll talk Cubs and Sox. Same story. Cubs win, Sox lose in record fashion. But first, Hub, it's great to see you.
Well, thank you, and it's great to see you. It's always great to be seen and great to be here. As we've kidded a little bit about it, I'm not sure how great it is to get here at 4:30 in the morning.
Yeah.
You know, but other than that, it's all good.
The traffic was good.
You know, I wish the traffic was like that during the day, because right. Then it wouldn't be a problem.
Then you wouldn't appreciate 4:30 in the morning the way we do. Got here, not an issue, and there you go.
You know, I'm sure that most people who live in Chicago have figured this out by now, but when I try and come down here at 8 o'clock in the morning from where we moved 3 years ago,
yeah,
it's like an hour and a half to even 2 hours sometimes. This morning, 45 minutes.
Yeah. I was in here in 15 minutes, speeding, but 15 minutes, which normally takes on Saturday, just driving in on Saturdays mm-hmm. to do Suckage Show. Mm-hmm. And it would take almost an hour. And this was like 15 minutes because I was speeding, because I could speed, right? You feel like, oh, I got to make up for it now. Do you see the pictures of Bike the Drive?
I saw a few pictures of that. Yeah.
I resented that because, like, I wanted that wide open, but it was a beautiful thing to see.
Yeah. I, you know what jumped out at me about watching that was when I saw the mayor getting on a bike. And it was one news thing where they were showing it.
and Mayor Johnson was riding with them. And I was impressed by that. I have no opinion of him one way or the other. I don't want to get into politics, but I thought it was interesting to see him getting on a bike in the middle of all these other people and all those people riding down the street. It was kind
of
cool.
Well, just like they're biking the drive, that you do that. 312-644-6767 is the number. Let's start here, Hub. We'll talk football. We'll do baseball later in the show. What would you consider a good year or a successful year? I don't know how you, whatever you're more comfortable describing it. What's considered a successful season for the Bears as we begin, where the run-up to week one is right here today?
Well, Steve, I think it's pretty obvious at this point that the fan base believes that this should be a playoff team this year. And so, and I know everybody is focused, or at least all the questions I'm being asked on number of wins and record and all that. Mm-hmm. You know, who can predict that before your rookie quarterback has ever played an NFL game? But I do know that the expectations off the way they finished the last three-fourths of the season last year should be making the playoffs. And so I think that's the bottom line. Now, you know, if there's a 9-win or an 8-win playoff team or a 10-win playoff team, there is a difference in that. But for Bears fans at this point, I think that's the next step. I think that is the next step for Flus to keep his job, because they accomplished so much during the last two-thirds of the season last year that is the expectation now. And so I think that the key is making the playoffs. I think if they do it at 10-7, I will be a little disappointed, because I think they're more talented than that. I think that's the thing. I'm sure talk about that some today. This is a rare occasion. I've been doing this for 45 years now, and I can't remember a time where I thought that the fan base may be underreacting a little more than overreacting.
Really?
When you look at the roster on this team, and I'll give you the way I've kind of tried to figure that out, is they may be the most talented team in the division. That's how much they've added, and that's how much the youngsters are developing. They also could be last again, because that's how good the division is and how competitive it is. But I actually think, with all this excitement, that fans may still be underrating this team a little bit with the talent on this roster.
You talk about the talent on this roster after making the point that this rookie quarterback who's running this whole operation has never taken an NFL snap.
Right, but he also is one of the most talented rookie quarterbacks to come into the league in the last 10, 15 years. So that's what you're hoping for. But at the end of the day, he's not my concern, because a Bears team won a Super Bowl without a franchise quarterback. They've been to another one without even an average quarterback. You know, so that can happen, you know. But I want him to be the franchise quarterback. That would be the difference for us for the next 10 years after working for 30 or 40 years without one. But at the end of the day, the key to me, the way this preseason has gone, going 4-0 and dominating in all four games, no, the starters weren't playing. But the Bears' depth is much better than the depth on four playoff teams, which is who they played in the preseason. And if the backup depth is that much better, you have to believe the starters are hopefully at least as good.
If they're being judged, evaluated, the personnel people are calling it the right way. Yeah, and the bigger names are where they should be. They're up front. There's not a lot of oars. There are just, here it is, and there it is, and there it is. So the depth has already come into play at what I consider the Bears, maybe the word worst isn't right, but the worst position they have, the least stable, the least predictable, the offensive line, when you've got practices where the defensive linemen are serving as offensive linemen recently, and there's a lot of bodies there that are unreliable. When they say availability is the best ability, then you're looking at the offensive line. To protect the rookie quarterback, or to make all of these wonderful weapons go, how do you view the offensive line as we run up to the Titans game?
It's the biggest question right now. I'm not sure that I agree that it's the worst position group. It is the most inconsistent and the most unknowns. And I think more problems, again, watching training camp the last month, is the injuries than the talent, because they did add better talent. Mm-hmm. And with these two rookie tackles, who I think are both going to be, one's already pretty good, they're both pretty good. And I think they're going to be for the next 5, 7, 8 years. I think they're set at tackle now, or can be set at tackle with these guys, plus the rookie that they just brought in who's going to compete on the left side, if he's who they hope, you know. And so they've got enough talent. I think they've improved the offensive line if these guys produce. Now, what's Nate Davis's story? It's a year later, and I have no idea his story is. How healthy are they, et cetera? You know, both guys have gotten nicked during training camp, but there is enough talent on that offensive line for it to be a good offensive line. And that's what, when I'm talking to my sources and GMs and people around the league, that's where I'm getting this from. This isn't my, I don't give my talent opinions, or I try not
You're welcome unless, to.
Well,
that's what we're here
I'm
for.
I'm sure I will a few times, but just for fun, not because I think I'm smarter than anybody else or know as much as GMs do. But the offensive line shouldn't be a problem if they get healthy and they brought in the right people.
I want to go to the text line, 312-644-6767. The 815 texture, hearing Hub first thing on a Monday morning means it's football season. Happy Hub is on the air. Yes, we are too. 773, if Hub says our hype is underrated, I'm booking my ticket to the Super Bowl. Patrick from Gage Park. And I think people, a lot of people would be surprised to hear you be, you claiming the, because this is over the top with Caleb Williams.
Mm-hmm.
And it's over the top with where the Bears, you're planning the parade is. And you think they're better than what a lot of people think, maybe not, maybe the best team in the division, in a division that had two playoff teams that won two playoff games mm-hmm. last year with far more established quarterbacks. So you think the talent around them, if healthy, and we just talked about the least healthy area, that talent and that depth plays a role against, in a schedule, looking at the schedule, it's still a fourth place schedule.
Mm-hmm.
How much do you factor that into to where you think they should, what makes a successful season?
Well, but that is a big part of it, because this, everybody gets a schedule, and this is their schedule. They didn't pick it. It's what the league gives them, and it's going into the season, it's the easiest schedule in the league, at least for the first 10 weeks anyway. And that's what they needed to make sure that these high-priced veteran free agents are still the players that they were that earned them the money, to make sure that the youngsters from the last 2 years develop even more going into year two or year three, and then to look at this year's draft. I mean, this year's draft, on one hand, some people say, well, five picks, I mean, that's not even a draft. On the other hand, every one of these picks is pretty interesting and exciting right now. But these are the kids that you can't, you know, chalk up wins to them yet, because you haven't seen them play an NFL game. But it's not just one or two players that they've added, which is usually the story with the Bears. Usually it's one free agent they get or one draft choice. It's the whole roster this time. It's all the moves in free agency. It's everything they've done in the draft, and it's how they succeeded in those areas last year, improving from 3-14 to 7-10. And that big an improvement again would make them an 11-win team.
He's Hub Arkish. I'm Steve Rosenblum. We're in for Mully and Haw today. We're talking football. It's 4 hours of fun right here. You can join in, 312-644-6767. Get you to our listener line and get you to our text line. So the idea that Caleb Williams is absorbing and doing a wonderful job of absorbing the spotlight that might normally, all think, if the Bears hadn't had that, Rome Odunze would be taking all like the attention you're talking about, that it would be all focused on one guy, on one person. It would be him, and it would be a rookie wide receiver. And can you break the record, which isn't much of a record, and people laugh at it. And they have three guys who could do that. They'll be fighting over catches. They'll be fighting over targets. Caleb Williams spoiled for choice. Caleb Williams learning how to have all the kids be happy?
Well, I think it's in what we learn about Caleb Williams, because we still have a lot to learn. But I can tell you that with everything that I heard about him from, again, my sources, which is the most important thing to me around the league, and I'm going back now to February, to March, there were some concerns mentally, development wise, attitude wise, expectation wise.
Are you talking about when you say development in a football sense, or a maturity as just as a person,
no,
human?
The person.
Oh, okay.
There were no questions about the football sense. Right. I have made this prediction on the air, so it won't be a surprise to anybody who's been listening. He was my second pick at the position. My first pick, not because I went to Michigan, nothing because I went to Michigan, other than the fact that I watched every one of J.J. McCarthy's 28 games two or three times, and I saw the talent, and I know what his relationship has been both with Jim Harbaugh and Tom Brady, and you know, talked to them a little bit over the months about him, you know, and I just... you know, was concerned that he was going to expect too much. We were hearing that his father wanted to change the salary cap rules, you know, and things like that. Those are all concerns. But since we've now met him and he's been around, he's been the opposite. He has been perfect in every way, maturity-wise, mentally, as a teammate. His teammates love him. He is he's a rookie quarterback who's never played a game, and he is clearly the leader of that team. You can see that every day at practice and the way they interact with each other. And all of the concerns about who he was as a person have proven to be wrong. You know, he's been nothing but impressive in every way, and that's why I feel good about him right now. As far as the talent, we know the talent is there. We know what he did in college. And now it's different when you try and do it in the NFL. That's the one thing we still don't know. It is the most important part, and that's what we're going to learn.
We're going to
see in the next 4 or 5 weeks. So if he continues to do the things he was doing in college, you know, then you're going to know it's there, and then you just have to hope they gave him enough talent, and it looks like they did.
He's Hub Arkish. I'm Steve Rosenblum. We are here for 4 hours of fun from 6 to 10 today. Hope you're enjoying your Labor Day. And I wanted to get back to the schedule because it breaks down in such a way that I want to get your thoughts on it, see if it matters. They got the Titans this week. It goes Titans, Texans, Colts, Rams, Panthers, Jaguars. That's in London. The bye week, then the Commanders, Cardinals, and Patriots. Not the Patriots you remember. So that's weeks 1 through 10.
Mm-hmm.
And the names you haven't heard would be Vikings, Lions, Packers, oh my. It almost is a, for my view, a perfect schedule for a rookie quarterback and for a team that traditionally loses its first one or two division games and is immediately behind the eight ball, especially when it's Green Bay. That's not going to happen until we're past the bye week, until he's gotten, Williams has gotten experience and gotten experience with these guys, and we've seen Keenan Allen do what Keenan Allen has done his entire career, and DJ Moore, and DeAndre Swift, who is saying, look, if we're winning, I'm going to be a big part of it because I'm a big... Do you like the way the schedule breaks down? Do you think it's particularly great for the Bears that it breaks down that way, no division games till the end, and then it's almost all division games?
I like it a lot, and it's actually another, I don't know about rule change, but it's another change that the league made with all eight divisions. Not everyone is as locked in as the NFC North, with the Bears playing six of their seven division games the last 7 weeks of the season. Mm-hmm. But I think that's great, because that means that division, because all those teams are playing that same schedule, at least the last 7 weeks, not exactly the same, but close. And that's going to make every one of these division races that much more competitive and that much more interesting. Not competitive because teams are equal, but because teams are still in it, you know, and those are all going to be big games late in the season. And then it worked to the Bears' advantage because they have the fourth place schedule, and you took all the division games out of what may be the best division in football. It's one of the two best divisions going into the season. But it made the first 10 weeks easier, you know, or at least supposedly easy. Now, this is where you got to be careful, though, because you look at some of these. I'm picking the Colts to win that division this year.
I'm not trying to minimize that. When I read that list,
no,
I'm not trying to minimize it. But just compared to what happens in a division, and every time they've seen Green Bay to open the season because TV wants it, the Bears suck and the Green Bay quarterback owns them, and like you feel the whole season's over already.
Mm-hmm. Right, and it's another reason in all eight divisions, but especially the Bears division, that's good with that roster change. But I only mention the Colts because it's one team who I think is going to be better than anybody expects. I'm not sure that Houston is going to be Houston again this year. I mean, I'm sure C.J. Stroud is a good quarterback, but I'm not sure he's going to have another year like last year. And so you look at the schedule, and then you get, you know, the Rams are a playoff team. You know, I mean, it's not like this first 10 weeks is guaranteed to be that easy, but going into the season off where they finished last year, it looks that easy. And so it's at least a really solid, good place for Caleb Williams and the other rookies and youngsters to be able to start. And I think it does play to the Bears' advantage.
He's Hub Arkish. I'm Steve Rosenblum. We are here for you this morning, 312-644-6767. We'll take a break. When we come back, There was baseball. There's much baseball to talk about. The usual baseball to talk about. Cubs win, Sox lose, what happened, what it means, and a chance to make Hub feel even older. I know that's always
hard.
It is, but it's always a goal. We'll keep striving. It's always good to have a goal. Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey.
If your day sounds like
we need the report ASAP,
you deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through, you deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame,
two more.
You deserve this ice cold reward. Modelo, the markable fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whoops. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Steve Rosenblum, Hub Arkish on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Long run, perfect for a baseball season. Nicely done, Tyler Farrengold. He's our guy. He's over there on the other side of the glass. I am the incandescent Steve Rosenblum. He's the legendary and iconic Hub Arkish. Welcome in, welcome back. 4 hours of fun right here. We're going to talk baseball now, and I need to alert you to this. Baseball coverage on The Score is presented by T-Mobile. Switch to T-Mobile, and you can get tons of benefits and still save on every plan versus AT&T and Verizon. Use their savings calculator to find out how at T-Mobile.com/switch. Your Cubs, Hub, 71-66 after ruining the Nationals on Sunday. 8-1 road trip. They are just 3 games out of the last wild card spot.
Yeah, you know, and I've been, like everybody else, following it the last month or two and hearing all the freaking out and then celebrating and then freaking out again, you know, and people need to understand what makes baseball. Well, there's a lot of things that make baseball different from the other sports, but the one that is the biggest difference is the 162 games.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the other two that are even close play half as many.
Yeah,
and football plays what, 10% or 15%, you know, and so you just can't overreact to all this stuff. You can't keep talking about these percentages of making the playoffs. They don't mean anything. If what I saw this morning was right, they're only 3 games out right now, or 3 games back of the last wild card spot.
3 games back of Atlanta, and with the Mets in between. See, the Mets were done no favors. The Cubs were done no favors by the White Sox. Mm-hmm. In fact, the White Sox probably threw the games because they have a history of their history tells you they'll throw games. But anyways, the Mets swept the White Sox.
Mm-hmm.
So the Mets are now a game back of the Braves, who they see regularly in the NL East. And the Cubs are 3 games back with one team to get over before they get to Atlanta. But as long as you brought it up, I'm going to bring this up. I use a baseball reference odds calculator. The Cubs have a 15.3% chance of reaching the playoffs, which Okay, it's better than it was. It's 10%. It's almost 11% better than it was a week ago.
Mm-hmm.
They went on this 8-1 road trip, they went 8-1. So in the last 7 days, they've improved their odds by over 10%,
mm-hmm.
which uses the numbers you don't want, but it gets back to exactly what you said. Well, we just play and watch, and if they win, you give yourself that chance. And they won yesterday with Jordan Wicks starting a game. They gave Tyone, pushed him back. So Jordan Wicks comes up and five innings and does wonderful, got a big defensive play from Paredes, and I wasn't sure he could play defense any better than Christopher Morel, but he showed he could. And his bat has come alive as everyone else's has. What do you think, in a longtime Cub fan who saw what Kyle Hendricks did in Game 7 of the World Series, that you were alive to see the Cubs win, what do you think about Wicks replacing Hendricks? Is that where this is headed, do you believe?
It absolutely is where it's headed next year and the year after. You know,
no, we're talking about September.
Yeah, I know. I was going to answer the question.
The month in front of us, Hub. Yeah.
No, I wouldn't do it. I think that Hendricks, he's got too much experience with this. The only one on that roster, by the way, who has experience with this. I think, you know, for what has he got? Maybe 3 more starts, you know, or 4 more starts. I think you continue to take the chance. I think you have to because of the games that he's kept him in. And the ERA at 6.
Well, the last outing, he got his head handed.
It was terrible, and it's happened a few times. But his ERA at 6.6 is actually improved by 20% over the last, you know, month, which isn't easy to do at this point in the season. And I think going into the remaining games, knowing you almost need to win every one, that I still think Hendricks might give me a better chance than Wicks, you know, or somebody else. And I was ready to write him off about a month and a half or two ago.
Yeah.
But he had a nice comeback, and that nice comeback tells me I'm willing. If I'm not sure going into one of the biggest games of the season with 10 weeks left in the season, I think I'd rather take a chance on him than one of the youngsters that I still have more to learn about.
What about starting Wicks and going to Hendricks again about a bullpen responsibility, probably as a long man or a mop-up guy, or not a mop-up guy, but a guy who, you know, your starting pitcher pulls a Hendricks when he can't get out of the second inning. And Kyle Hendricks handed himself, as you would expect, such a pro. Such poise, whatever you need, and he's seen what's going on. He's not stupid.
Mm-hmm.
He knows he might be a question mark here. He doesn't strike me as a guy. He's not going to go all John Lackey and just start raising his voice and raising a ruckus. He's going to be Kyle Hendricks. What do you think about that?
Well, I think it's important in the locker room right now because this is a team they've had. Look at how many roster changes they've had in the last 2 weeks. I mean, you know, how comfortable is this roster together right now? They seem to be a good group. They seem to work well together.
Kidding, with scoring 14 runs, getting 2 touchdowns will do that to you.
Is there any chance that they've set a record in the last week for the most points scored in 7 games?
Yes.
Yeah.
That's their best. They 90 runs in the last 10 games, I think. 90 runs. It's something they did in 1930.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. They that's what they've done.
It's just, and when I look at this roster, it's kind of what I've expected most of the year, not records most of the year.
Yeah.
But I didn't expect hitting to be the problem. And, you know, they've gone through these stretches where the best hitting team in the league can't score any runs for 10 games, you know, and that doesn't make sense. But let's go to the boss. Let's go to council. You know, he was hired and got the money because he was one of the best managers in baseball over the last 8 years, you know, with far less talent than he has on his, well, I shouldn't say far less, but less talent than he has on his roster right now. I'm still confident that he is going to figure this out the way he has handled it so far and where he's got him right now. Not that he's not responsible for them being 3 games out right now. He is, he's the manager, but he is pretty much found answers to everything as it's happened. That's why they hired him. And I think he's doing it again. And going back to your original question, I think that he will rely on the veterans more than the youngsters at this point, as long as he feels he can. And very concerned with what happened, you know, in Hendricks' last start. But then I can go back to, what was it, last week or the week before, when he went 6 innings and gave up 1 run. How can he pitch like that in his last start and then pitch like he did in his most? That's the hard part to figure out.
I think part of it is matchups. And Craig Council believes in matchups. And he'll find a spot, I think, for Hendricks. I think he has great regard. He was not here when they won the World Series, but he has great regard for what that meant, what Hendricks meant, the kind of pro he's seen a lot of Kyle Hendricks. So I think that plays a role into it. But I also think he has always been so facile in being transparent with players. Every player says that.
Mm-hmm.
Every present players, former players, just he's not going to BS you. He's not lying to you. He's going to tell you what he sees and why he's doing something. And there's great respect for being told the truth, a professional athlete being told the truth. So I think that's how he can get it done. And you bring up Council got paid all that money. This was the month he got paid all that money for.
Mm-hmm.
In Milwaukee, they would call it Craig Timber. Mm-hmm. This is when whatever he learned, and if you're new to this, Cubs fans, think of it as if you're a Blackhawks fan. Joel Quenneville's teams in a playoff series would be scuffling games 1, 2, and 3. And then Quenneville would figure it out. His players would figure it out. And they were almost unbeatable in games 4 through 7. That's the way it went.
Mm-hmm.
What you learned, the rolling knowledge you picked up. And I think what you're right about, what you're saying about Council's learning his players, learning his team, and putting it all together, who he has for what, for to get one out.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it comes down to now. That's where we are.
And I think with Hendricks in particular, he values his leadership in the locker room more than the way he is throwing the ball right now, because that pitching staff, both the starters and the backups, it's not young in terms of age, but it is young in terms of experience. And half of them don't speak English, and mm-hmm. I think Hendricks' leadership with that group, he probably values more right now than his pitching ability.
I think it all plays a part. They're looking, if you're going to look to somebody, go, well, what's he doing? He's been here before. I think that's part of it without having to say anything.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know how much he actually says. I sold the Cubs short. Thanks to Chris Kampka of Marquee. Cubs have scored 99 runs in the last 10 games. Is that stunning from what the Cubs team that we saw early in the year? 99 runs over a 10-game span are the most the Cubs have scored since May 28th through June 7th, 1930. Yep. And they scored 104, and Hack Wilson drove in 16 of his MLB single-season record 191 over that span.
And it's not just one guy or three guys. It's the whole roster. I mean, Seiya's
the bottom of the order.
Yeah, but well, that's just recently though.
Yeah,
that's been fun in the last 10 days. Yeah. But I believe Seiya Suzuki has the best batting average on the roster, and he's hitting 270. Their stars are hitting 240, 230, 250, but they're scoring all these runs.
They're slugging and they're weighted runs created plus. And you're seeing ridiculous numbers with Bethancourt and Amaya, and you're just seeing the guys come through. And Pete Crow Armstrong looks like the guy they talked about when they acquired.
Yeah, yeah.
And they've helped develop him. And that's one for whatever you may say about where are the Cubs coming from? What are they going to do? What kind of talent are they putting on? They bank so much. They talk so much. They've stressed their development. Pete Crow Armstrong is an excellent example of that.
Mm-hmm.
And he's producing.
Yeah, and I thought that he was a year away. I wasn't ready to quit on him, but he couldn't hit to save his life until a month ago.
No.
You look at the way he's been hitting the last 4 weeks, and he is a future superstar. If he can hit like that over the course of a season, and we don't know if he can yet, but it sure is promising. That's obviously what they saw. That's obviously how they brought him up as early as they did and kept him in the lineup, and it's paying dividends now. And I've given up on trying to figure out how good he's going to be next year and the year after. He does appear to be a star out of their, I know they traded to get him, but out of their minor league system, and that's why I think people need to calm down on Jed Hoyer a little bit, because I look at where that minor league system is at now, and all I can do is trust the experts who are saying it's the best in the league or one of the top three. And they've got all that future depth and current depth to work with. And Pete Crow Armstrong is just the best example right now, but he's not going back to the minors now.
No, not if he keeps it. Yeah. You know, I'm sure I could find a recent comp. And comps are fun to do. They may not always be accurate. The first comp I thought, when I started watching him grow, we all started watching him evolve into the player, you go, oh, my God, oh, my God. I kept thinking of Whitey Herzog's Cardinals, mm-hmm. the 1982 Cardinals. If there were carpet and they hit the ball the way he hits the ball the way they hit it and just run and run and run, and they'll run you right out of the league. And that's what he's doing. He would have made a perfect Whitey Herzog Cardinal from those times. I don't know. Maybe there's a regular comp, but he would have been terrific on those teams. That's the kind of baseball he's playing. And I think you mentioned Hoyer. That's kind of the vision he had. He took a lot of hits because they didn't have enough slug.
Mm-hmm.
And his lineup needed to do what it's doing now because they still don't have enough slug. And in the playoffs, ball go far, team go far. It's harder to do it in colder as the weather gets colder and the pitching gets better and the teams get better. But for now, we get the chance to have September baseball be meaningful in a good way. Last year was meaningful and you're like, oh my God, the bottom's falling out. Those mm-hmm. were the How were you last year, last September, when they entered Labor Day and they were like a 90% chance of making the playoffs? Mm-hmm. I know you don't like those percentages, but...
Well, no, I don't care about them. It's just that they're meaningless. You just pointed out why they're meaningless. 3 days ago, the percentage was 3.7%. Yeah. Now it's up to 15. So what? You know, just keep winning games. But the one thing with Crow Armstrong that nobody talks about that I find so impressive is there are at least 25, probably 40 other guys in the league with the same 40-yard dash time as him. But there's nobody who runs the bases the way he does. The way he anticipates, the way he sees things, the way he makes decisions. For a 22-year-old, that's really impressive, and I don't think that's going to go away.
No, the pressure he puts on just by getting in the batter's box is now being realized. It was always, he can't get to first base to scare teams. Mm-hmm. Now he is. Now he's getting to third base.
You know, I wonder what his batting average is on bunting, because I think he's hitting about 720 bunts.
He's bringing it back, bringing back the... So I wanted to, if you're just getting up, let's recap. The Cubs are 3 games behind the Braves in the wild card. The Mets are 1 game behind the Braves. So the Cubs trail the Mets by, they got to get past the Mets to get to the Braves and then past the Braves, and they have to get, they can't tie either of those teams because they don't have the tiebreakers. But the reason you might not know this getting up and you might not know where the standing was, the Braves played the Phillies yesterday. It was last night's game, Sunday Night Baseball. And the Phillies won it in the 11th inning.
Mm-hmm.
Phillies won it thanks to an old friend of the Cubs, Nick Castellanos, mm-hmm. who drove in. It was a 3-2 Phillies win. He drove in all 3 runs, Nick Castellanos did. There was no world or global iconic moment that Castellanos interrupted that I'm aware of anyways. But he drove in the winning run in the 11th inning. And the winning run he drove in was in the person of Cody Clemens.
Mm-hmm.
Cody with a K, because all of Roger Clemens' kids, their names start with a K. And the pitcher off whom he got that, Aaron Bummer. The Braves pitcher, former White Sox pitcher, Aaron Bummer. So Nick Castellanos is still helping you. And this is on a day, this is where I want to make Hub feel old. The Cubs rout of the Nationals in the 9th inning, up steps Darren Baker, laces the first pitch he sees up the middle, first major league hit. And Dusty's there, mom and dad are there, and they're cheering. And like, I just thought there's a generation that didn't know that Darren Baker's dad managed the Cubs.
Mm-hmm.
So I just wanted to share that.
Well, and that made me so happy, because even though he wasn't anywhere near the best manager they've ever had, Dusty was one of my favorite managers.
Why?
Well, I just liked him. You know?
Okay.
I mean, you know, if you're as nutty a Cubs fan as I am, my first game was at Wrigley Field when I was 4 years old, and we were season ticket holders at that time. My family have been Cubs fanatics forever. And I've always liked players and managers personally, not necessarily as players, as managers, just as the way they carried themselves.
Uh-huh.
And Dusty never never made me mad.
You know? Never made you mad, not in the most famous meltdown you saw.
Made you share of bad decisions, but every manager is going to do that. That didn't make me mad. I just liked the way he managed the team and the way he carried himself. And that's why I was really happy for him last night. And also, you know, just, well, no, I won't bother. I was going to make another point about Crow Armstrong, but I think I've already built him up too much. So.
No, you keep building him. You already said the Bears fans aren't hyped enough about the Bears this season. So go ahead. Go.
Well, I don't think they're hyped enough about where I think the Bears are going to end up, but they are high on him. They're high enough. You don't want to get too high. But with Crow Armstrong, with what we've seen in the last month, I don't know how you don't take it all seriously and just, you know, continue to get excited about it. And you wonder, because they also have, I think, six more guys who are in the top 100 prospects in the league. How many more Crow Armstrongs do they have ready to come? And it looks like some are starting to come soon. Some of them pitchers, some of them position players. But I'm not sure that any of these stars, I mean, Dansby Swanson is going to be, Bellinger, if he stays, is going to be, you know, Ian Happ is going to be. But beyond those three, the future of this team may still be in the minor league system. It may not be on the roster right now.
Or part of them are on the rosters. Yeah. Maya Bethencourt, Crow Armstrong.
Yeah, some of the other youngsters that have come up, yeah.
Right. That could be there. So I just wanted to share this. Nick Castellanos is everybody's friend. He's a friend of all of Chicago baseball. The former Cub just helped the Cubs move closer to the Braves by beating the Braves last night. And also, White Sox fans, Nick Castellanos is with you. He told John Boy Media, he was asked about owners who just don't try. He's asked about franchises that just don't try, that keep losing. And Nick Castellanos had this idea.
If you were commissioner for a day, what would you change about the game?
I would change that ownership doesn't have any severe consequences for losing for an extended period of time. You know, so like if we're in the big leagues and we don't perform well, we get demoted or cut. If their organization didn't perform well, somebody else would have an opportunity to buy it from them. You know, keep it to where nobody can really own the game of baseball, because the game is above true ownership. But that would never happen.
No, it wouldn't, because the guys who own baseball are the owners, and they would never do it. But I love Nick Castellanos. What do you think of that idea?
I think it's an interesting idea, but we all know it's never going to happen. No. Because I don't know the owners of any business, not just baseball teams or football teams, who have any responsibility except making money. You know, they don't have to check in with anybody as to, you know, what their percentage of increase in profit was this year. There's no other way to measure. It's just not going to happen. And another reason it's not going to happen is, how many billionaires are there out there who have enough money to buy a baseball team? You know, there's not that many people to sell to either. You know, there's enough that you could find a buyer, but not if you sell five teams, you know, in 5 years. It just isn't realistic, you know, but it's a good thought. It would be nice if major league owners had more responsibility to their fans to win. But that's how these people got to be billionaires in the first place. Some of them are jerks, you know.
Yes.
And some of them are good people, I know.
Well, that's a segue to our White Sox talk. We're going to take a break and come back we'll find out just how irresponsible some owners can be and how insulting they can be to their fan base. We'll talk White Sox next. He's Hub Arkish. I'm Steve Rosenblum. We're in for Mullion Haw. Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Steve Rosenblum. Hub Arkish on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Welcome in. Welcome back. I'm Steve Rosenblum. He's Hub Arkish. We're in for Mullion Haw today. We thought we'd come back and tell you, because it's unignorable. The White Sox lost to the Mets. They lost for the 107th time yesterday at home. 107 losses is a franchise record for ineptitude and every bit representative of a chairman who insults his fans. The record is 31 and 107. That's 76 games under 500. Again, a franchise record. The Sox went 0-10 on a homestand for the first time in history. 0-10, homestand, franchise record. Previously, the record was 0-7 that they set earlier this year.
Well, and you answered my question correctly, but it wasn't exactly the question I was asking.
Oh.
I knew that they'd already set their own record for most losses.
Uh-huh.
I was asking, what's the most losses by any team in Major League Baseball history? Because last time I looked, about 2 weeks ago, they were a favorite to break that record.
Oh, they are. Oh, just listen. Pull up a chair, Hub. I'm not going to miss that.
No.
I tried to get Jay Hook, one of the 62 Mets, on.
Mm-hmm.
The more I went down the rabbit hole with Jay Hook, a player I knew from Strat-O-Matic Baseball, everything for me comes from Strat-O-Matic. He was born in Waukegan.
Oh, okay.
He went to the majors, pitched for the Reds, and part of that Mets team, and left baseball and would eventually become a professor at Northwestern.
Okay.
I mean, this is a wonderful guy, mm-hmm. but we couldn't get him. Anyways, that Mets team went 40 and 120. There was a 160-game schedule at mm-hmm. the time. The White Sox need to go 12 and 12 in their final 24 games to avoid tying the Mets. From Bennett Kay. The Bennett K is the Twitter handle. The White Sox are on a pace for 36.39 wins. That would be less than 40.
Mm-hmm.
8-16 in their final 24 games. I don't know where they're going to win 8. 333 playing down the stretch gives them the fewest wins in Major League expansion history, right, since 1961. 9-15 gives them the worst winning percentage in the expansion era. And if they find a way to go win 11 games, they would still be the worst record in the 21st century. The White Sox have a chance to become the worst ever team and not nearly as lovable as the 62 Mets. They're hateable.
Yeah, and I hope they don't get that record because
why?
Well, because I have nothing against the White Sox. I'm just not a fan. But I don't want to see anybody get that record. What's that record?
Who deserves it more than an owner who insults the team and promotes a guy who just got pantsed at the trade deadline, has been worse in a year that's supposed to be a turnaround, as told to us by ownership.
The owner absolutely deserves it, but the fans don't. And I don't like to see fans suffer like that, no matter who their favorite team is. And I'm a Chicagoan. So even though I'm not a White Sox fan, I'm still a Chicagoan. I don't want the Chicago White Sox to be the worst team in the history of Major League Baseball, but that appears to be where they're going to end up this year.
Well, it's always good to have a goal. It's always good to have a goal. And I think that's an important thing. They have something to shoot for. Imagine they have to go 12-12 to avoid becoming the worst team ever, having the fewest wins in the majors, and they've lost 40 of their last 44 games.
Well, that may be the one goal that their fans can celebrate if they just win 13 more games this year.
All right, okay. He's Hub Arkish. I'm Steve Rosenblum. We're going to take a break. We come back. Agents were surveyed by The Athletic, and it's interesting who got love and who didn't in relation to a Bears roster that Hub thinks is better than a lot of Bears fans who are already over the top think. We'll talk about that next. Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
In life, some days are good and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the audio.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.